You're a little older and a lot wiser. The future is yours. Define aging on your own terms. Welcome to AARP Without Limits with your host, Mike Olander.
Hello and welcome. This is AARP Without Limits. We are disrupting aging one show at a time. All our episodes are available anytime on demand at WPTF.com or wherever you get your favorite podcast. So that's right, folks. Get on your phone, get to your podcast app, and follow us, and never miss an episode and have access to our vast catalog of past episodes. But today we've got a great show for you. North Carolina Treasurer Brad Briner is with us in the studio to talk about being the state's treasurer and his priorities during his first year on the job. But first, ladies and gentlemen, I'm joined here in the studio also with the true talent here at AARP Without Limits, Curtis Media's own Mike D, Mr. Mike Davis. Mike, how are you, sir? It is very good to see you today.
Well, thank you. The check's in the mail. Appreciate that intro. And I'm doing great. I'm very excited about the show. Glad to be here. How's your week been, Mike?
It has been really good. Well, let me step back. I'm a little disappointed. I'm a little disappointed in North Carolina's weather this week.
Really? Yeah.
Because Memorial Day, and I know we're not supposed to do this. I've been guilty of this before.
But, okay.
You know, for many people, Memorial Day is not focused on what it's supposed to be, but right. In people's minds, it marks that informal start to summer.
Sure.
And, you know, usually we get to enjoy that, you know. I grew up in Jersey, and that's when the beaches opened and,
right.
You know, all that. And, boy, we definitely did not get that at all. It was drizzling. It was miserable about it. It's been miserable all week with all the rain. It doesn't feel like summer. And definitely, you know, gave us all the opportunity, really, to put things in perspective as far as Memorial Day went, because we weren't thinking about summer.
Well, you're exactly right. In fact, I had to wear a sweater yesterday, and today I decided I don't care. I'm going to wear a summery, spring-like shirt today. I'm going to feel spring and summer, whether it is or not.
So good color on you, too, Mike. That's
Thank
sort
you.
Of a teal polo, ladies
Thank
and gentlemen.
Thank you. Thank you, by the way. I'm disappointed as well, though, mm-hmm. Mike. As long as we're airing it out, I'm just going to go ahead and say I'm disappointed. Carolina Hurricanes out of the playoffs now.
I didn't feel good about that either. And I have to say, it took me a long time to come to this place. Fun fact.
Okay, here it comes. I know where you're coming from. Go ahead.
Okay, so before I started my wonderful life in North Carolina in 2013, I used to live up in Jersey.
Yeah.
Right? Worked in AARP New York, worked in Manhattan, did the grind. Huge Devils fan.
Mm-hmm.
And
I saw this coming.
It was we were just getting ready to wrap up what looked like to be a great playoff series against the Hurricanes, and they scored two goals against my Devils in the last 90 seconds, and I was there at the game with my buddy. It was not a good, it was very quiet walk out with everybody. And
sorry, not sorry?
Well, let's just say that was a long time ago.
Okay.
That was 13 years ago, I think.
And then have your allegiances changed?
No, I just, you know, I wear both hats.
Okay.
Yeah, when I'm up. I've gone to some Devils games in the last couple of years. I haven't gone to any Canes games, but I watch them. I was rooting for them. I wanted to see them beat Florida.
Sure.
Didn't happen.
Yeah.
That's life, man.
You sure didn't.
Back to the grind.
Here we go.
Earning the paycheck.
That's it. Exactly right.
That's right.
Yeah, we'll give it a shot next year.
Yeah. Anyway, one quick word, and then I want to get into our conversation with Brad Briner. Really excited that he's here. One of the things I did do, though, was that weekend, kind of split it a little bit. Did spend Memorial Day with my kids, but a couple of days before then, I was up in Manhattan.
Oh.
Doubleheader on Broadway. Got to see Just in Time, featuring Jonathan Groff, who was absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
And I also got to see Good Night and Good Luck, which was interesting to see George Clooney in person. So
that would be interesting.
Very different experiences, a very full day. And
saw
the
movie,
morning,
haven't seen the play, of course.
Yeah, it's you've seen the movie, you've seen the play, basically. Except
well,
George
I think
Clooney
he was
is,
the producer and director the movie.
Yeah. But it's very black and white in person. It's very cool the way it's done. Yeah, I have to say. But it was nice to be there, great full day. And in that sense, I definitely enjoyed the season, the weekend, and that was a very unique start to
Fantastic.
The unofficial start of summer, as they say here. Anyway, enough wasting time here. Let's get on to the good stuff. Really pleased to have with us here in the studio with us today, Mike, our new treasurer for North Carolina, Brad Briner. I do have a bit of a bio here, but I do want to give him the benefit of being able to talk a little bit about himself with an opening question. So before, let's get right on into it. Treasurer Brad Briner, thanks so much for being with us. Welcome here in the studio, AARP Without Limits.
Pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. And thank you for putting up with Mike and I this first 5 minutes or so.
We're all in a bit mourning about the hurricanes. So
yes,
I'm right there with you.
We're all feeling, we should have brought him in on that one, Mike. Before we get in deep, if you could tell us a bit about yourself, just folks who know who they're hearing from here, a bit about your background and right up to you being sworn in as treasurer.
Sure. I'll keep it somewhat brief. I grew up in Texas, and so still root for the Dallas Stars a little bit.
Okay.
So still alive there, at least, down 3-1. But I moved here for college in 1995, and I was fortunate enough to get the Moorhead Award and attended UNC. Met a girl there, so had an ulterior motive to stick around North Carolina afterwards. Took a job managing money for the university right out of school. Got married, started having children. Started a business here in North Carolina in 2005. And then 2011, I got a phone call from Mike Bloomberg, who was looking for someone to manage his money. The catch there was that it was out of New York, but I wasn't going to move. So I began 12 years of commuting back and forth 5 days a week between Raleigh-Durham and LaGuardia, and had a great experience there. But you know, over time, you develop preferences and you develop choices in life, and didn't want to make that one anymore. The opportunity to run for treasurer came up, and it was right down the fairway for me. I've been managing money of institutional scale my whole career. It's what I like to do. It's where my family is here in North Carolina, of course, and so running for treasurer was a natural step for me. Was successful there, took office January 1st, and have been at it. We got some big things ahead of us at the state treasurer's office, some challenges, and we're tackling them head on.
Wow, that is an awesome bio, an awesome story. I have to ask here, I'm sure Mike is curious about this too, what is harder, doing the commute 5 days a week back and forth to LaGuardia or raising four kids?
Depends on the day.
Yeah.
You know, LaGuardia, 48 out of 50 weeks a year, pretty good. The other two, pretty awful. Kids, kind of the same every week. And, you know, we're fortunate to have four wonderful children, four teenagers at this point. So the commute, I'd say, is the answer.
Wow, awesome. And to be able to manage Mike Bloomberg's portfolio and all that, that's impressive. So I'm sure very interesting challenges with that as well.
It's a unique chair, but being treasurer of North Carolina is a unique chair in its own ways, too. So both exciting and challenging, but more similar than you might think.
Certainly well qualified. Well, great to have you here. To make sure our listeners have a good understanding of what the treasurer does, can you start with some basics? What does the treasurer do? What is your function? What is your role?
Sure.
Yeah.
So the simplest explanation is it's in the name. It's the treasurer of North Carolina. So we manage all the assets of the state and the liabilities too. So when we issue debt, we deal with that. But more importantly, we deal with the pension fund, which is a series of assets, or the cash management, or the 401k. Really, anytime the state has a lot of money, we're in charge of that. We don't get involved in income tax or collections or things like that, but to the extent that we have those assets, we're going to manage those for the state. There's a lot of other kind of side pieces to it, including managing state health plan, which is the insurance for the state employees, but it really comes down to the treasurer of the state.
So just one follow-up on that. Is there a huge difference between what you do here in the treasurer looks like here in North Carolina and other states, say like a big state like New York or a state like Iowa, which is much more rural and small?
There is an enormous difference
in
a lot of different ways. Many treasurers are not elected. Many are appointed because it is a reasonably technical job. So there's some sense in appointing it. But every treasurer has different sets of responsibilities. So you'll join these state treasurer organizations and you'll attempt to have commonality, but everyone's different. So as one example, many treasurers manage the 529 program, the college savings program. We don't. And why that is and how that is, I don't honestly know the history of, but it's just one example of how every treasurer is different in their sets of responsibilities.
Wow, fascinating. A lot to learn there, I'm sure. Just looking at that, it's amazing to see the differences. When we've had different officials on this show before, that's one of the things I'm always really, really curious about, is just to see how things vary, how unique North Carolina is, and we're very unique in a lot of different ways. So
we are. The treasurer here has probably more responsibility than most treasurers.
That's just my sense of it, yeah.
In part because we have what's called a unified pension system. So all of our pensions are put under one umbrella. Most states do that by municipality or by service line. And so you have, as an example, California public employees, California state employees, or different pension systems. Los Angeles has their own pension system, et cetera, et cetera. We do it all in one pool, and it's a very big pool. So it's a pretty large responsibility for one person.
Great. Thanks so much for all that. When we continue, folks, we're going to continue our conversation with North Carolina Treasurer Brad Briner. This is AARP Without Limits. We'll be right back.
AARP is working hard to make sure people in North Carolina are getting the most out of life. Whether it's helping you stay healthy, save more money, care for loved ones, or simply have some fun, AARP is making a difference in communities across the state. You have a wise friend and fierce defender with AARP. Learn more about progress being made for older adults in the state by listening to AARP Without Limits. You can find the latest episodes of AARP Without Limits wherever you listen to your podcasts.
And we are back. This is AARP Without Limits. Just a reminder, folks, that I always love to hear from you. If you have a question, a comment, a recommendation, or a suggestion for a future guest or topic, please send me an email, aarpwithoutlimits@aarp.org. We've been speaking today with Brad Briner. He is North Carolina's treasurer, and we've been asking him about what the role is like, how it's been coming on board, and of course, a bit about his background. Mr. Treasurer, I'd like to ask you a little bit about how things have gone so far. You've been in the office just over 100 days now. You've already taken some pretty significant steps from reforming the state health plan and initiating changes to how the state's pension fund is managed to launching a financial literacy newsletter. Can you walk us through some of these early efforts and what motivated some of these priorities for you?
Sure. You know, growing up, my dad always used to say, if you have to do something eventually, you might as well do it now.
Sounds like my dad.
And yep. You know, that's kind of how I think about the world is, you know, we've got big challenges and the two biggest things we do are in the pension system and the state health plan. And we're going to have to change course in both cases. So you might as well do them now. So we started in January on the state health plan side. You know, this has been communicated for a couple of years now that plan is headed to a big deficit. Healthcare costs continue to go up faster than just about any cost that anyone pays, and it's no surprise that we have the same problem in the state health plan. So we've got to find $500 million for 2026. And if you're going to do that, you might as well get started, is kind of our approach. A challenge that large is going to require everyone to sacrifice and compromise, and we identified that day one. So we started communicating it day two. So we've been out there talking about raising premiums on state employees for the first time in 8 years. It's not something we want to do, but it's something that we have to do. There's really no other choice. And so going back to the beginning of the conversation, if you're going to have to do it eventually, you might as well get it done now. Same is true on the state pension plan side. You know, unfortunately, we have not had great investment performance on the pension side. Some of that is we're a fiscally conservative state, and we should be. Some of that is other choices that we've made that we shouldn't be making. And so addressing, you know, 50th out of 50 kind of performance in the investment side is something that I made a priority even on the campaign trail, and we've made real steps there, in part because it's so obvious that we need to do that. We've asked a lot of our state legislature from an appropriations perspective. We have asked a lot of our retirees from a lack of cost of living adjustment perspective. It's time to ask a lot of our investments too.
So, as you've stepped into when you started running, it was pre-Hurricane Helene,
yeah.
And then that was quite a surprise, right? Yeah. A month before the election.
Yes.
Obviously, that I'm sure changed the way you thought about how things were going to go or could impact the state. Aside from that, have there been any other like surprises to you, either in terms of how the state is run or how things were done in the past and what you could bring to maybe some opportunities you didn't realize before? Anything really stand out to you as a surprise?
I'd tell you most things were evident, but the big surprise to me was the effect of all the COVID relief money on our towns and counties. And it's completely counterintuitive. You would think that all this relief money falling from the sky would have helped. I think in many cases it made things worse. So you had structural problems in towns and counties that were not growing, and they were able to paper over them with one-time money. But the problem was a permanent, recurring problem. So in some cases, and we've seen many of these already, it made the problems a lot worse by kicking the can down the road. So that is a big surprise to me, and something, you know, we've just brought on a new director of the state and local government division for us, Denise Cannon. We're super excited to have her start in a couple weeks. That is a big task for her to help unwind.
Wow. That's interesting. Want to switch gears a little bit and talk about retirement savings. You know, it's, you're managing money for the state. People are managing their own budgets and figuring out how to save. And I know, as you know, here in North Carolina, there are more than 1.8 million people who lack access to a workplace retirement savings type of vehicle. How do you look at this issue from your perspective in terms of the scope of the problem and possible solutions to that?
We have an enormous population that is not ready for retirement. And, you know, retirement income streams look like a handful of things, you know, Social Security being the biggest layer for most people. We all understand that Social Security is not in the best shape, and we worry about that a little bit. Over and above that, you have the state pension system, which for those who work for the state is really helpful and is in really good shape. You know, though we have an investment performance problem, we do not have a fiscal solvency problem on the pension side. We're one of the better funded pensions in the entire country, and you have the full faith and credit of North Carolina behind those payments as well. So that's in great shape. But the other layer is the voluntary savings programs. So we run a 401k program, we run a 457 program for state employees. Many employers have those, but as you identify, many employers don't. And so how can we help people be retirement ready? That's a topic we're always interested in and always wanting to support folks be ready for retirement in all the different ways that they need to get there. So this program is one that we're interested in understanding better. One of the challenges with these programs, though, is getting them to scale. You know, we had a 403B program for the state for a number of years, and we saw no path to getting it big enough where the fees didn't eat people's investment returns. Mm-hmm. So we got to be conscious of that, and that's the one thing that is outstanding for me is how we're going to make a program like this work.
That's good. Sustainability is key. Yeah. You know, we don't, like you said before with COVID money, you don't want something to be here today, gone tomorrow, and so forth. And you're even seeing with the federal stuff with Medicaid and all that Congress is dealing with right now. Would not want to be in Congress right now.
No.
I don't think I ever said I would want to be in Congress, but I definitely would not now, those challenges that are there. Switch gears real quick again. A lot of discussion going on about cryptocurrencies. Sure. And this idea specifically about whether the state should consider investing in them. For many people out there, they're still confused as to what in the world cryptocurrency is. Sure. Could you explain sort of the basics about that really quickly? And then what do you think about this idea of investing in the state investing in them?
Sure. So cryptocurrencies really came out of the global financial crisis. And everyone at the time is questioning the financial system, rightly so. There were some real problems revealed by what happened in 2008 and 2009. And could you create a currency that didn't depend on central governments was the central question. And Bitcoin came out of that. It is a quote-unquote trustless payment system where you don't have a central authority who could, you know, spend too much or in other ways devalue your currency. And so people were looking for a store of value in the middle of a real crisis in 2009. And again, Bitcoin kind of comes out of that. So people should think about it as a currency. It is a store of value. It is, to some degree, a medium of exchange as well, though highly volatile. The way it's being used is, I think, the more interesting question right now in financial markets. I think everybody understands that our federal government has a problem from a revenue or spending perspective, depending on your political affiliation. They're just out of balance. So some people want less spending. Some people want more revenue. Everybody agrees that math problem is not solved. If you believe that has implications for the U.S. dollar, debasing the dollar, how are you going to protect yourself? And the answer has become two, gold and Bitcoin, and Bitcoin being the digital equivalent of gold. So I think a lot of people are interested in Bitcoin specifically, not other cryptocurrencies generally, as a store of value against a falling dollar value. So you're seeing it be used that way. You're seeing companies who buy it and put it on balance sheet be more highly valued for doing that. One called MicroStrategy is just a holder for that. GameStop, I think earlier this week, bought $500 million of Bitcoin and their stock went up a bunch. So you're seeing a lot of interesting behavior in the capital markets. And it really gets back to that simple, people are somewhat distrustful of the value of the US dollar and where can they hide? Bitcoin's been the answer. So we have legislation that's through the House and has not been taken up by the Senate yet to allow the pension systems as well as other pools of money in North Carolina to invest up to 5% in specifically Bitcoin, given the statutory limitations that are in there. It gives us the option, not the obligation. And that's the first and most important thing people should understand, is this does not require the state treasurer or anyone else to buy Bitcoin or any other crypto asset. There are some studies associated with it so that we can make sure that we understand what's going on and why it's going on, and we're happy to engage in those as well. So we're supportive of the legislation because it creates an option, not an obligation. We do have an ability to invest some in Bitcoin already through whether it's MicroStrategy or GameStop or other securities that are in the S&P 500 in many cases. We generally choose not to do that. It is a very highly volatile asset right now. Maybe it won't always be. And we are a lower risk, lower return investor. So it's just a kind of inappropriate fit for what we're trying to do at the moment. That may change. Mm-hmm. And we would be excited to have the tool available to us to pursue that eventually.
It's a fascinating topic. Real quick, just forgive the basic question here because it's easy to get confused. But does the state, is there options to sort of dip your toe in the water and then tip out and see? Or does that just create an unstable environment for the state?
It is a liquid security. Mm-hmm. So you could trade it in an afternoon if you wanted to. Now, at the scale is a different question. I think you probably could trade it at the scale we would need to. We haven't looked into that. But no, it is very liquid. And so it's not like buying property or something where you're going to own it for a long time.
Well, fascinating stuff for sure. Last thing I want to touch on with you is just this has been talking a lot about what's going on so far, your first 100 days. Yeah. Long term, what are you thinking? What are some of the bigger priorities or things to tackle you haven't jumped on yet?
One of the things I love about this job is that everything is measurable. And we can put our numbers up there, and we do on our website. If you go to the front page of our website, we launched a page called the Accountability Metrics, and it's just a series of measures of what it is we're actually trying to do. And we've raised the bars, so they're hard to meet. We don't meet them all, and the goal first is to meet them all. We'll see if we can get all our divisions above those lines of doing exactly what we said we're going to do for the taxpayers and the citizens of North Carolina. That's really the goal right now. There's so many ways that we touch the average citizen in North Carolina, and we can do better at all of them, that's really the focus, and that's going to take years.
Mm. Great. Well, we wish you all the luck. Your success is our success, so we all want a strong state where people want to come to live and want to age and have as much independence and dignity as choice as they do so here. And so I applaud your effort and you taking on some of these really big challenges. And of course, it goes without saying, make sure you reach out to AARP. We're a great resource for understanding older adults here in the state. Yes. And so understanding their needs, I know, is an important part of what you do for the future. So that is a wrap, folks. I want to thank our treasurer, Brad Briner, for being with us today. Thank you to Mike Davis for production. Thank you for listening. This has been AARP Without Limits. I'm Mike Olander with AARP North Carolina, and we'll see you next time.